same. In need of mercy, to be forgiven and be free. It's all you got to lean on, but thank God it's all you need. And all the people said amen. Oh, 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 and all the people said amen. Give thanks to the Lord, for His love never ends. And all the people said amen. If you're rich or poor, well, it don't matter, weak or strong, you know love is what we're after. We're all broken, but we're all in this together. God knows we stumble and fall, and He so loved the world, He sent His Son to save us all. And all the people said amen. Oh, 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 and all the people said amen. Give thanks to the Lord, for His love never ends. And all the people said amen. And all the people said amen.
Turn the drums only.
Oh, 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 and all the people said amen. Give thanks to the Lord, for His love never ends. And all the people said amen. And all the people said amen. Oh, 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 and all the people said amen. And all the people said amen. And all the people said amen. Oh, 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 and all the people said amen. Give thanks to the Lord, for His love never ends. And all the people said amen.
Now the bottom.
And all the people said amen.
Kick me up, because I'm doing where I'm normally at.
Also, give me a little more headroom on my guitar. I had a ton earlier, but it's all gone now that we adjusted the...
Thank you.
Because I'm cranked all the way, and it's really loud, but I just like to ask
you.
10. Guitar is 10, mic is... my mic. Mic, Frank, John. Third to last time.
There you go.
On which one?
Well, he's hurt. He says he's hurting, so I'm going to go visit him when we're done here. After the service, walk in and surprise him. Let's go to the special now.
No.
No, the Emmaus is all still the original sheet that you've always had.
Just tonight
we are, because we need the run through for Sunday, even though Brandon is sitting in for Todd.
Sitting in for Todd, who was supposed to be sitting in for... Yeah, okay.
Yeah, you got it.
Sure.
I'm confused.
You got it?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go to Chainbreaker, which is in the Sunday thing.
Actually, he doesn't get it.
Gee.
Does anybody remember how this thing starts? She does. That's good. Take it, ladies. That sounds good. Sing it.
You're trying to feel.
somebody testify.
Feeling better, but you just got replaced. If you're listening to this now,
is that recorded? I'm glad you asked
that. If this is being recording, I apologize, Todd.
Don't forget, I have the power of the edit.
Never mind. How much audio do you want?
Thank you.
is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your God. Come, now is the time to worship. Oh, come. Now is the time to give your heart. Oh, come. Just as you are to worship. Come. Just as you are before your God. Come. Just as you are. Come. Just as you are.
Nancy. Hello, Sandy.
Bring food. She carried something out that was food.
Emmaus Gathering tomorrow night. And they're going to let us do 5 or 6 songs, so you got a few extra songs today.
Wait, why'd they charge me then?
Sucker.
They still give me a pizza.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ the Lord, cornerstone, we made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. When darkness seems to hide His face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. My anchor holds within the veil. Christ. And as Chip would say, now here's Pastor Larry.
Zero last week and 60 today. Wasn't it amazing? I'm a big fan of the 60 stuff. I want to pray first before we do anything else. I think that's really the reason we come on Thursdays, just to spend some time praying and talking to God. So I'd like to do that. Three requests come to my mind. I got a call Tuesday from Dan Young, and wanted to know if I could do a funeral for a lady that had passed away. And so I went out and met with her husband and did the funeral. And it was expected. She had been in bad health. But the family, his name is Keith Truman. And death is a struggle. And I'd like for us to remember Keith. Keith had three sons, and his wife Colleen actually had three sons, and so it was a family that really had bonded together as a blended family. It was a bonded, blended family. So I want to remember them. I saw Bud today. Judy's doing really well, and so she's making some good progress, and that's always good to hear. And then I just met with the family recently, and some struggles going on in one of their lives, and I just remember the family. That's all we really need to know. I told him I wouldn't share any names or anything, and I won't do that. But just to keep that family in your prayers, because as a result of one issue, I think it's just tough on the family, and we've all been there. So we know what it's like. Any other prayer requests that we have that you'd like to mention? Nancy?
Yeah.
Doug? Todd fell off his truck today. Going to continue the series Sunday on the cross. Karen. She having fun? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you today, and we come to you in the name of Jesus. And we think about the cross and what that means for us today. Such an ugly symbol. Such a brutal way to die. And to be forsaken by your Father. But yet to do it for us. Imperfect people in an imperfect world that are striving for perfection. And that's the example that you set for us, that we want to be more like you. But we want to be more like you in the way that you did it. That we humble ourselves. And we seek your face as you sought the face of the Father. And then that we become willing participants in the life of Christianity, that we might carry your message on. And that message is one of death and resurrection. Of death, where there's no hope, and life, where there's hope. And so, Father, we thank you, and we thank you, Jesus, for caring enough to come to earth and to go through the beating and the scorning, the humiliation, and the pain for us. And we know that you did it for each and every person that has walked on this earth. And we know that you did it for those that needs have been shared tonight. So, Father, we just come to you and we ask you to be with Keith and with their boys, with the friends and the family that lost a loved one. Thankful, Father, that you gave the opportunity to minister and to share that there is hope. There is something beyond the grave. And so, Father, we pray for strength and peace and comfort for that family. I just ask you in Jesus' name. Father, we lift up Doug. How we have grown to love and appreciate him. Thankful, Father, for his heart, for his faithfulness. And Lord, we just ask you to touch him right now. And just ask you, Father, to remove this infirmity that he's dealing with and give him health and wholeness in every area of his body. Because we believe that you said that whatsoever we ask, so we're asking for healing. And Father, for Jason and for his travels, we pray, Father, for peace. We pray, Father, for assurance that you are with him, sitting right next to him with your arm around his shoulder, and providing that comfort and love and assurance that you'll never leave us. You'll never forsake us. You'll never forget about us. But your life is all about us. And so we rejoice in that. And we thank you, Father, for it. Lord, we just pray for Nicole's safe travels back. Thankful, Father, that she has a grandmother and grandfather that took her somewhere that she will remember forever. Gave her the opportunity to have some one-on-one time with Grandma and Grandpa. And give her memories that will last forever. So, Father, we thank you for that, and we thank you for her safe return back. And just pray, Father, that you have and will bless Grandma and Grandpa in a special way, for having done what they did. And Father, I just lift up Todd and just pray, Father, that you'll touch him. And Father, that you touch the pain in his right side. And that in the name of Jesus, it just be removed and he'd be freed from the pain and the discomfort that comes with an accident. But know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God heals us and touches us and makes us whole and makes us well. We thank you for that. And Lord, the family that I mentioned, I just lift them up. What a great opportunity to talk. And sometimes we just have to be brutally honest and candid. But we're thankful that you give us the ability to do it with grace. And so, Father, I lift them up to you and hand them over and say that in the name of Jesus, may there be peace, may there be assurance, may there be help where it's needed, strength to say the things that need to be said, strength to do the things that need to be said, and the things that need to be done, the courage that it takes in a difficult situation to help us be courageous. So, Father, we are thankful. We are certainly a blessed people that we can come to you and we can bring our needs to you, and that you'll reach down and you'll touch our lives and touch our hearts. Make us new. Renew our lives, resurrect our lives, reassure us that you are the God of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. You are God, our healer, and God, our Savior, God, our protector. So we thank you for that. And we pray, Father, your blessings on each and every person here tonight. Just ask, Father, for a special touch in their lives and in the touch of their families. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I mentioned Sunday that the message on the cross was difficult, and so's this one. And I tell you, any time that you begin to talk about Jesus' death and resurrection and his blood being shed for the sacrifice of our sin, you end up getting hit with a lot of different things, but you also get hit with some blessings. And that's really what happened this week, so I'm thankful about that. Let's take a look at Revelation 19. John's vision is really beginning to be recorded here as it turns to when Jesus returns and when Jesus comes back. There are some handouts on the end. If you didn't get one, you need one, you know, well, we can get you one. But when Jesus returns to rule the earth, so many people have had ideas of how's it going to happen, how's it going to take place. There's doomsday prophets, and I actually just heard that the end of December 2016, that someone prophesied that Jesus was coming back December the 31st. And you may have, he's a well-known TV evangelist, TV minister. You may have heard that, but I have not seen the guy on TV, so maybe he did, and we missed it. I don't know, but I don't think so. There's been futurists have talked about it. There's been scientists have talked about it. Some think it may be a nuclear war that's going to take place, and who knows what might be the beginning of it. Some think that we may die by disease and become extinct, and then the others think that there's going to be a Mars invasion. But the Bible's pretty clear that when Jesus returns, that the earth is going to be destroyed by fire. It's a simple understanding if you believe and accept the Bible. Happened to, talk to someone this week that said they were a deist. And asked me, he said, you know what that is? And I said, I know what that is. Unfortunately, their explanation was a little bit different than what, a deist really is. But, and then they were talking about, used the term dogma, and kind of had hit part of the definition of dogma, but dogma is simply what we believe, but it was a very convoluted explanation. And this is actually part of the sermon Sunday, but I told him, I said, I would rather take a chance that I'm wrong than take a chance that you're right. I've said that to a lot of people, and they look at you and they back up, and I said, just think, if you're wrong, boy, if you're right. I heard Joyce Meyer say, I think I'm right, but I could be wrong. That's a good statement. So those who study the Bible know he's going to return, and we see that returning in the following chapters through the end of the book. We'll see where Satan's bound. He's thrown into the pit. We'll see where Christ's rule takes place. Satan's final rebellion is going to take place, but there's also going to be that white throne judgment. So we'll take a look at verse 1. It says, "After these things I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God." I lifted a couple words out of there. It said, "after these things," which simply means after the destruction of Babylon, because that's going to bring about the end. The final end is the destruction of Babylon. And Babylon thought that it was indefensible, didn't think that anyone could penetrate it, and failing to realize that the Bible says that it will be destroyed. And so anyway, that comes at the end of the Great Tribulation. The great multitude most likely means the angels, since the saints join in later in the message, and we'll see that later. We'll see that later on. But what happens, and what it becomes here, is when they say, "Alleluia, salvation and glory to the Lord," that is the beginning of Jesus' return, and they begin to glorify God, and they begin to praise God for that. Alleluia simply means praise. And it's seen four times in the New Testament, and that's really all that it's used. Now, you have five reasons down there that that praise emerges. The first one is that God is delivering his people from their enemies, and that's reason enough to rejoice, because when we look at the persecution and we look at what we have went through, and you look what Christians have went through in the past, reason enough to be joy, you know, I don't want to say joyful, but reason enough to praise God for that. God's handing out justice. I have said many times, we do not want God's justice. We want God's mercy. Justice is simply that. It's the final judgment that becomes justice, and we want his mercy that allows us to go to heaven and to spend eternity with him. It's his permanent crushing of this human rebellion that's going on, the battle with Satan's forces that are battling with the Christians and with the forces of God. They're also praising God's sovereignty because he knows all and he is all. And then the fact that God is now communing with his people, and that's not the communion, but it is communion of talking and being with them and fellowshipping with them. Verse 2 says, "For true and righteous are the judgments, because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication, and he has avenged her blood. He has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her." Judgments, the saints again, goes back to what was said before, that they long for justice. They long for judgment because they're looking for their eternal reward. Now, eternal reward does not come until justice comes. God's people love righteousness. You know that as well as I do. We hate sin. We talk about it. We try to get people to turn from their sin because it's going to destroy them. It's going to to ruin their hope of the future. So when we look at that, we see that these saints are longing for judgment. Verse 3 says, again, they said, "Alleluia, her smoke rises up forever and forever." And what that is, beginning of the destruction, because smoke is a result of the fire. And so that's when we begin to see this take place. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who sat on the throne, saying, "Amen, Alleluia." The four living creatures, that's a special order of angelic beings, different than what we've talked about before, because we talked about the elders before and different people. And these are actually different angelic beings. Verse 5 says, small and great represents everyone and everything, he says. Then a voice came from heaven saying, "Praise our God, for all his servants and all those who fear him, both great both small and great. So what he's saying there, that it is everyone, everything. It's not just it's not just the world leaders. It's not just the chosen few. But he's talking about here about the small person, not physically, but the person that has maybe accepted Jesus on their deathbed, and they haven't done a lot, but yet they're still Christians. People maybe like Hitler. Who knows? I've heard a lot of people say, there ain't no way Hitler's going to be in heaven. Well, I don't know. So, I heard today somebody said that our happiness in heaven is tied to our work on earth. I don't remember who that was. It was just, I was channel surfing when I was going somewhere, and it's just like, well, actually, I was doing the presets, and just what I was really doing. And I heard this, and it skipped to the next station, so I don't, but I thought, you know, that's an interesting concept. Mm-hmm. Verse 6, and I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, the sound of many waters, and the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. And omnipotent simply means all-powerful, means almighty. And that that term is used several times in the New Testament to talk about a God and also to make a title for God. Verse 7, he said, let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife has made herself ready. Marriage of the Lamb, in its Hebrew, weddings consisted of three phases. The first one was betrothal, and that was normally done for teenagers, for young people. And remember when it talks about Mary and Joseph was betrothed, Mary was betrothed to Joseph. She was a teenager. She was a young child. The presentation part of it are the festivities, and that's what lasts for several days, and it precedes the next step, or the ceremony, or the exchange of vows. So that is the process for a marriage for a Hebrew marriage. If it's not teenagers, a betrothal is not. Is significant because there's not that waiting period for the teenagers. But what we see there is the church has been betrothed to God and to Jesus through God. And what we're going to see is at the rapture, which the Bible talks about the church being his bride, is going to be betrothed to him and presented to him at the rapture of the church. So the bride includes all the redeemed. Christians living today, Christians that have died, anyone that is redeemed will be part of the bride of Christ. Verse 8, and to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. The righteous acts of the saints represent that outward work, what saints have done as a result of the inward manifestation of the Holy Spirit being in our lives. It gets back to maybe what that guy was saying, that, you know, the day that our happiness is dependent on what we do here as saints and what those acts are, or random acts of kindness, as Greg mentioned, doing things for people. Operation Magi, you talk about a random act of kindness to people that we have yet seen. But people who are getting a letter this week saying, hey, we exist. We'd love to have you come. And it's my hope and prayer that some of those people come, find Jesus. And like I told one of them, I said, you know, next year, maybe you'll be in a situation that you can help someone. It may not be with a lot, but anything that you can do, God would bless that. Verse 9, then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. Those that are called are his people, are the redeemed, are the Christians. True sayings of God just represents, and it's interesting that it's something that I read this week. refers to everything that was said after chapter 17, verse 1. And when you go back to 17, verse 1, it says, "Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked to me, saying, 'Come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on the many waters.'" And so anyway, that's what he's talking here about, what's happened after this angel comes and the one that had the seven bowls. This is a totally different discussion, totally different things that have happened since then, the things that have been said since then. Verse 10, he said, "And I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, 'See that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.'" And what happened is John fell at Jesus' feet to worship him. But he said, it says he fell at his feet to worship him, but he said, "See that you do not do that." What he's talking there is he's saying we do not worship the angels. In fact, we're prohibited from that. But as I read this, it says these are the true sayings of God. He said, "And I fell at his feet to worship him." Which looks like to me it's saying that he fell at Jesus' feet to worship him, to worship Jesus. But what he's doing there is admonishing him not to worship the angels, not to worship anyone other than who God is, because he says, "Do not do that," and that's the essence of what he was saying there. Verse 11. "Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war." Heaven opened. Jesus sitting there on a white horse, which is far different than when he entered into Jerusalem on a donkey. Far different. He's coming back now to rapture his church. He's coming back as the King of Kings. He's coming back as a warrior. And one of the things that you normally see in these type of situations in the Old Testament, or in the New Testament, the Old Testament too, as a matter of fact, is on these battles that the king would ride in on a white horse. And that is what's symbolic here of this. There's a couple of references I put down there in case you might want to take a look at that. But the rapture here is when Christ meets the saints in the earth and in the air as he comes to earth. That is literally the rapture of the church. And we've seen pictures of people, I hate to use the term floating, but people floating up toward heaven. The white horse in the Roman world was typical of the victorious general. And so we see him riding in on that white horse. Faithful and true is his words. He said he'd be back, and he's coming back. Verse 12, "His eyes were like the flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself." And I thought that was interesting. It says, he had a flame of fire. Nothing escapes him. Nothing is missed. He's omnipotent, all-powerful. He's omniscient, all-knowing. So he knows everything. So he knows what's going, to take place. As does Satan. Satan knew before Jesus came that Jesus was coming. We're going to talk about that Sunday. But he tried to destroy the seed through Moses. Remember when he said, when decree was put out to kill all the boys 2 years and younger. Then Herod did the same thing, trying to kill Jesus. And so we're going to talk about that Sunday. But what he said he would do, he would do. No one knew. John could see the name, but I guess he apparently couldn't comprehend what it was. And one writer that I read this week said, it's just some of the mysteries of God that we just cannot comprehend. And I think there's a lot of truth to that. Verse 13, "He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God." The blood there represents previous battles, previous victories, not the Battle of Armageddon, because it hadn't taken place yet. But what this is representing is the previous battles that he had been involved in and those previous battles that he was victorious. And then he talks about there's a word there in italics. John's the only one in the whole New Testament that refers to Jesus as the Word. He becomes the image of the invisible God. And that is the final image of him, or the revelation of God. Verse 14. And the armies in heaven, clothed in white linen, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Armies in heaven, those are the composed of the church, the tribulation saints, Old Testament believers, and even some angels. The return here is to help Jesus worship, not to help him in the battle, because that's already been declared. So the Bible pretty much teaches us that he will alone destroy Satan. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, and that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of the Almighty God. The sword out of his mouth simply represents the Word of God, and that he will destroy his opponents through the Word. And that's simply what it simply says is, it just symbolizes his power to kill, symbolizes those who oppose him will be destroyed. The rod of iron, swift, righteous rule. Nothing is going to take any amount of time at all. But when we see this, all the believers will share his authority because we're redeemed through the blood of the Lamb. Verse 16 says, and on his robe and on his thigh, a name written, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. One of the things that he's going to see is going to be a banner across his robe, and then there's going to be something written down his thigh that emphasizes his sovereignty, emphasizes his authority over all of the rulers of the world, all of the rulers of mankind. Verse 17, then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather together for the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of the captains, the flesh of the mighty men, the flesh of the horses, and those who sit on them, and all the flesh of all people, free and slave, both great and small. So what he's doing here is he is summoning these birds to eat the carcass and to eat the flesh of those that are going to be destroyed, so that there's nothing left. When God does something, he does it, and he does it right. Verse 19, and I saw the beast, the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And so at this time, this is when Satan and the Antichrist will be cast into the eternal lake of fire. They'll be alive, they'll be cast in, cast in alive, as the Bible says. And then verse 21 says, and the rest were killed with the sword which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. So it sounds like a pretty gruesome thing when it happens, and it will be. But the other great thing about it is that we have hope. And we have that hope through what we celebrate as communion, through the shed blood of Jesus. And we have healing that we also have through Jesus. And I would just want us to maybe stop and think about this evening. We prayed for people. We prayed for their health. And as we share in communion, would you thank God for hearing that prayer and thank God for healing them? Because I don't think we have to keep praying the same prayer. We pray the prayer, then we live in faith and thanksgiving. So let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we just stand in awe of what you did. The broken bread represents your broken body, that we are healed. The cup represents your shed blood that provides forgiveness and freedom from sin. And so we thank you for that. We thank you for our healing, both physical and spiritual, in Jesus' name.
This is a song that Todd got all excited about doing.
And he had to go and hurt himself.
Melody?
Are you leaving
she's
us too?
She's freezing.
Oh, she's cold. Okay.
Thank you.
testify, testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. You got a pain, she's a pain taker. Shaking Savior, if you got chains, he's a chain breaker. If you need freedom for saving, he's a prison shaking Savior. If you got chains, he's a chain
song. It's a catchy song, isn't it?
Can you play medley?
Sure, why not?
Now it's time, Bruce.
Now it's time.
Bruce.
Now it's so time, Bruce.
Now it's time.
That's
a difference. Do you change this?
Like these kind of sing-alongs, the old-time medleys.
Let's see.
I was listening with some music the other night with Melody. I listened to Joni playing a lot of this kind of stuff. Remember, 2011, 2012, and Chip singing with her. God bless him.
Chip singing.
So,
what?
Yeah. Hey, yeah. Ready?
Ready there? Ready there?
Got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. I got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. I got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. Look away beyond the blue. You Lord, oh dear Lord, oh dear, remember me. Lord, oh dear Lord, oh dear, remember me. You Lord, oh dear Lord. Away me
I hate when that happens.
That's why I was relying on you there. I was like, exchange on time. I don't know what's coming next.
I was wondering what you're pointing to.
That was entertaining.
Musical instruments.
Go ahead, Karen.
Hop on the board.
You'll get caught up eventually.
I'll get there.
Well, you're the Bruce switcher, aren't
you? It's easy, Nora.
If you are lonely, when you feel afraid, you're not the only, when you feel insane, in need of mercy, to be forgiven and be free. It's all you got to lean on, but thank God it's all you need. And all the people said amen. Oh, and all the people said amen. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love never ends. And all the people said amen. If you're rich or poor, well, it don't matter. Weak or strong, you know love is what we're after. Broken, but we're all in this together. God knows we stumble and fall, and he so loved the world he sent his son to save us all. And all the people said amen. Oh, and all the people said amen. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love never ends. And all the people said amen. Said amen.
Well, not exactly, but when he hits the cymbal, we're done. Okay, we'll do better next time.
Well, mine turned off again.
It turned off again?
It turns off. It keeps turning off on me.
Oh, no.
I even unplugged it. That's...
Go to the next one there for me. Make sure you let your lights shine. That'll finish us out here.
Oh, good.
And Emmaus' favorite. Okay, so... You got it, Brandon? You got the notes?
Oh, yeah. I got it, finally.
Okay. Do the intro part. Do the intro now. Sing.
Let your light shine before others so they will know our God of love's in the land. And let your light shine before the soul, they may know the kingdom of God is at hand. Let your light shine before the soul, they will know the God of love's in the land. And let your light shine before the soul, they may know the kingdom of God is at hand.